Recently, a baby named Babaji was born. He had a 4-inch tail and 9 spots on his body like Lord Hanuman. This mutation is causing people to pay a tribute to him. Believe it or not, some people actually believe God is a monkey. It's true. They really do. I want to talk to you next couple weeks about some of the misconceptions that I find people have about God. You know, these stories that I read, all of them are real hard to believe, but all of them are true. They're all true. They're not made up. They go and verify these things. There's some very strange things in the world. I find the same things true about people's beliefs about God. Most people are amazed when they find out the truth about God. Did you know, for example, today and tomorrow, but as we speak, there are more songs being sung about Christ and about God by more people in all the world and love for God than any other type of music. It's easy for us to think, you know, you hear these guys singing on the radio all the time, talking about some woman, talking about their love for her or their whatever for her. And you think, man, is that all anybody sings about? The fact of the matter is more songs have been written about God and about Jesus Christ and are sung the world over than all other songs combined. Let me tell you another amazing fact about God that's just very difficult for people to grasp. Most people in the world, including the United States, believe that the simple way that you get to heaven is by doing enough good deeds that they outweigh your bad deeds. God has this gigantic scale in the sky. And on one side of the scale are the bad things you've done. On the other side of the scale are the good things you've done. Now, the simple way to get to heaven is to make sure that at the end of your life, the good deeds outweigh the bad ones. If not, well, let's just say you're in for a world of hurt. Believe it or not, that's not only taught in many religions in America, but it's also in the teaching in the Quran, in Islam, along with lots of other things. Whether you want to believe it or not, the simple truth is that you can go to heaven for free. Every single person in the world can go to heaven for free. You don't have to do any good deeds to get it. God wants to give it to you. It's free. Imagine for a moment you go into your favorite store. I don't know what that might be. For some of you, it might be the food store. It might be Lund's, it might be Byerly's, it might be your favorite restaurant. It might be Abercrombie & Fitch. It might be the Wet Seal. It might be Urban Jungle. I don't know what your favorite store is. But imagine you go, and as you walk in, there's a greeter at the door. Got the little button on, a little vest, or whatever they wear to designate the fact that they represent the store. And as you're walking into the store, they smile and welcome you to the store. And you look at them kind of, well, this is unusual. And in their hand is a bunch of money. And they say, I was wondering, sir, how much you'd like to spend a day? Well, what do you mean, how much you'd like to spend a day? I don't really have a lot. I just came to look. That's okay. Today, we have a special. We're handing out $1,000 bills. You could have one, you could have three, you could have five. How many would you like? No, seriously. What are you talking about? Let me see one of those. And you take in your hand and you look at that thing and you turn it over and you think, that's a real $1,000 bill. And you hold this $1,000, you serious? You want to give me this $1,000 bill? Yes, I want to give you a $1,000 bill. No, I just couldn't take it, you know, because, I mean, I didn't earn it. I got to do something for the $1,000 bill. Well, you know, sir, you can look around the store, but the only way you can buy anything today is if you take $1,000 from us. Now, that's hard to believe, isn't it? The fact of the matter is, that doesn't happen in this country. It doesn't happen anywhere except in heaven, except with God. Let me give you a couple examples. The air that you breathe, God gave it to you. It's free. You can't live without it. The planet that you live in, all of its resources, the oil deep under the ground, the food that sprouts from the ground, the sun that we enjoy every day, the seasons, all the perfectly balanced chemical reactions that go on every day are given to you for free. The body that you use to take it all in, the eyes that you see, the ears you hear, the tongue that you taste with, the stomach you digest with, the body that you use to enjoy all that you see around you is given to you for free. God gave the world His Son for free. The Bible tells us God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever would receive Him would never die but have everlasting life. It's just that simple. The problem is, we refuse to believe it. Or maybe a better way to put it is, the problem with so many people is they do not have the humility to admit they really need it for free. You know, it's interesting. None of us could cause our own birth. None of us could have given ourselves the body. We gladly took the body God gave us for nothing, and then we attribute it to monkeys. We gladly take the air that He gives us. We gladly take the planet that He gives us. But, of course, we're in denial that He actually gave it to us. So God gave us His Son. You see, there's some amazing facts about God, and over the next 3 weeks, I want to talk about those amazing facts. But tonight, the fact I want to focus on is this. Believe it or not, God is for you. God wants you to succeed. God wants to bless your life. There's a lot of people, their conception of God is that God is just waiting to crack the whip over them. God's just waiting for you to step out of line so He can knock you upside the head. There's other people who believe, you know, God's just indifferent. He's not really interested in me. I've had so many people over the years tell me, you know, Mark, I wish they could have a relationship with God like you have, but my problems aren't big enough. I just have little things, and God doesn't have time for little things. Maybe you got that impression from religion. Maybe you got that impression from the way you were brought up. Maybe you had parents that never had time for the little things in your life. Whatever the case might be, the fact of the matter is that God is intensely interested in you. And God is for you. I want to show you two passages tonight in the Scriptures. The first is Romans 8, verse 31. What can we say about such wonderful things as this? If God is for me, who can ever be against me? Since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Think about the logic of that for a moment. The writer is saying, the writer here being the Apostle Paul, one of the most ardent proponents of Christianity in the early world, the ancient world. He eventually was martyred for his faith. He says to us, look, if God is for you, who can be against you? You see what's remarkable about this Paul? Just to show you the character of God. You've probably been realizing lately, if you watch the news, if you watch CNN, if you watch NBC, you're starting to recognize that the Middle Eastern mindset is considerably more emotional and fanatical than the Western mindset. I don't know if you know this, but Yasser Arafat absolutely went ballistic when right after the terrorist attack on our World Trade Center, the Palestinian television station showed all the people in the streets by the hundreds of thousands jumping up and down and cheering that Americans were dead. And he immediately ordered it off TV because he didn't want you to understand that much of the Muslim world wants America destroyed. That's not really what I'm trying to share with you. Now, what I'm trying to help you understand is that I don't even know what it would take today in America to get 100,000 people to march on the street. Paul was a radical Middle Easterner. Paul hated Christians. His name was Saul. He despised them. Paul was a fanatical Pharisee, and Paul killed Christians. The most precious thing in the world to God are His children. And Paul went from house to house, killing them, dragging them out. The very first Christian martyr was Stephen. And all the people who were there, all the men stoning Stephen, laid all their coats at the feet of the man who gave the orders. And the feet of that man, his name was Saul. This was a violent man. This was a radical, religious nut. And he was walking on a road to Damascus, going to get more Christians and drag them from their house. And you know what happened? God struck him down, and he talked to Paul. He said, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus Christ who you're persecuting. Now, you can believe in the vision or not. All I can tell you is this man who is a radical, fanatic killer of Christians, in that very moment, turned his life around was blind for 3 days, received his sight, and became the most radical proponent for Christianity the world has ever known. He was whipped, he was beaten. He went all over the Roman world and the Gentile world telling the good news of Christ. You see, no matter how bad you've been, no matter what you've done in your life, God wants to work in your life. And God showed us that through the Apostle Paul. It does not matter what your background is like. It does not matter what your past is like. What matters is that you decide to come to a place in your life that says, you know what? I believe God is for me. God wants to bless your life. God wants to do something significant in your life. But you have to decide to believe it. You have to decide, I'm going to operate under that premise. In Psalm 103, another one of my favorite passages, David writes, "Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives me. He surrounds me with His love and mercy. He fills my life with good things so that my youth is renewed. His unfailing love for me is greater than the heavens are from the earth." David was a man who experienced this in his life. God wants you to experience Him in your life. Jesus, as He traveled on this planet, said to the masses, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." God wants you to experience an abundant, meaningful, purposeful life. God cares about the quality of your life. God cares about you. And He's for you. He's on your side. He wants to do something significant with your life if you let Him. But it does no good just to know it. We have to believe it. We have to embrace it. And as we embrace it, we begin to experience it. Over the next couple weeks, I'm going to be talking about some more amazing statistics about God. And all I can say to you is this. The things that I'm going to talk about over the next several weeks have amazed countless millions of people to the point that they have gladly changed their life, turned their life around from what they were pursuing and embraced a different life. You know, Chad was up here tonight, the guy playing, leading our band. I met Chad about 6 or 7 years ago. Chad was a deadhead, as we call him. He loved Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead, and he was smoking his life away, rotting his brain with pot. That's what Chad lived for. Just smoked pot all the time, all the time. Him and Todd Luker. That's the truth. That's the truth. One day Chad, for whatever reason, I don't know what reason, decided to come to the church we had going on before the Rock called Evergreen, which is still going on. And I happened to be sharing then. I was talking about God and stuff like this. Chad's life was almost completely ruined. He had a good friend that had killed himself. And Chad was just wasting his life. His parents were absolutely frightened for him. And Chad heard some of the things I'm talking about tonight. He went home, and that very night, he experienced what Paul did. He embraced Christ. A couple weeks later, I started a midweek meeting called Life Changers. If anybody wanted to come and have their life changed. He started coming. He started bringing Todd. And the knowledge of what I'm sharing with you tonight turned this young man's life around. He's a different man today. And as he told you in tears at our Rock retreat in St. John's, it's hard for him to believe that God would take a loser like him, turn his life around, and he gets to do this for a job. He'd be the first one to tell you he doesn't deserve the wife he has nor the children that he has. But what has God done? God has blessed his life. If Chad were still on the road that he was on when I first met him, he would not have a wife nor would he have children. And there's a good chance he wouldn't even be alive today. There's a lot of people in this auditorium like this tonight. There's Dan Rollins, who I could have share his story. There's Brad back over there. There's JT over here. There's people all over this auditorium that I could bring up on this stage and they could tell you the same story, that the amazing facts that you're going to learn in the next 3 weeks absolutely changed their lives. And they'd never go back to their previous life. I would never go back to my past life. I can't wait each day, even though there are struggles each day, I can't wait for each new day to begin because I wonder, what's God going to do today? With each passing year, what new thing is God going to do this year? As I watch my children grow, making a decision to follow Christ, I wonder, what 5 years from now is going to be happening? What new thing, as I get to know you young men and women at The Rock, what has God got planned for your life 6 years from now? I can't wait to get there. And I want to invite you, come back the next couple weeks. Bring your friends, because I believe they'll want to also discover the amazing news about God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the incredible, incredible love that you have for each and every person in the world and in this auditorium. Lord, you know that sometimes it takes all the energy that I have to somehow try to convey to these young men and women the extraordinary truth about God. But it's true. And even now as we speak, you are changing lives all over the world. In the Muslim world, in the Hindu world, in China, in Russia, in Ukraine, where I have friends going out to villages where there's no electricity, no telephones. And people live like it was still the 1800s. And my friend Scott is seeing lives transformed. Father, I just thank you that you're the best thing that could ever happen to any person here. Lord Jesus, you are the best gift that we could ever receive. You're the gift that keeps on giving year after year after year throughout all eternity. And I want to ask you that you'd captivate these men and women's imaginations. We live in a world, Lord, that's full of so much phoniness, so much emptiness. We're in a world where so many products promise us so much, but they always fail to deliver. Whether it's Zima, or a Budweiser, or chewing gum, or a car, all of them promise they're going to change our life. They're going to bring Mr. and Miss Wright into our world. And man, we're going to have so much sex appeal. And it's all a joke. And yet the world spends billions of dollars in advertisement every year to get us to buy into it. So we'll part with our money to buy their promise that comes with a product that never delivers. You always deliver. You always come through on everything you say. I ask you, Lord, to touch these young people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. His parents were absolutely frightened for him. And Chad heard some of the things I'm talking about tonight. He went home, and that very night, he experienced what Paul did. He embraced Christ. A couple weeks later, I started a midweek meeting called Life Changers for anybody who wanted to come and have their life changed. He started coming, started bringing Todd. And the knowledge of what I'm sharing with you tonight turned this young man's life around. He's a different man today. And as he told you in tears at our Rock Retreat in St. John's, it's hard for him to believe that God would take a loser like him, turn his life around, and he gets to do this for a job. He'd be the first one to tell you he doesn't deserve the wife he has nor the children that he has. But what has God done? God has blessed his life. If Chad were still on the road that he was on when I first met him, he would not have a wife, nor would he have children. And there's a good chance he wouldn't even be alive today. There's a lot of people in this auditorium like this tonight. There's Dan Rollins, who I could have share his story. There's Brad back over there. There's JT over here. There's people all over this auditorium that I could bring up on this stage and they could tell you the same story, that the amazing facts that you're going to learn in the next 3 weeks absolutely changed their lives. And they'd never go back to their previous life. I would never go back to my past life. I can't wait each day, even though there are struggles each day, I can't wait for each new day to begin because I wonder, what's God going to do today? with each passing year. What new thing is God going to do this year? As I watch my children grow, making a decision to follow Christ, I wonder what 5 years from now is going to be happening. What new thing, as I get to know you young men and women at the Rock, what has God got planned for your life 6 years from now? I can't wait to get there. And I want to invite you, come back the next couple weeks. Bring your friends, because I believe they'll want to also discover the amazing news about God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the incredible, incredible love that you have for each and every person in the world and in this auditorium. Lord, you know that sometimes it takes all the energy that I have to somehow try to convey to these young men and women the extraordinary truth about God. But it's true. And even now as we speak, you are changing lives all over the world. In the Muslim world, in the Hindu world, in China, in Russia, in Ukraine, where I have friends going out to villages where there's no electricity, no telephones. And people live like it was still the 1800s. And my friend Scott is seeing lives transformed. Father, I just thank you that you're the best thing that could ever happen to any person here. Lord Jesus, you are the best gift that we could ever receive. You're the gift that keeps on giving year after year after year throughout all eternity. And I want to ask you that you'd captivate these men and women's imaginations. We live in a world, Lord, that's full of so much phoniness, so much emptiness. We're in a world where so many products promise us so much, but they always fail to deliver. Whether it's Zima, or a Budweiser, or chewing gum, or a car, all of them promise they're going to change our life. They're going to bring Mr. and Miss Right into our world, and man, we're going to have so much sex appeal. And it's all a joke. And yet the world spends billions of dollars in advertisement every year to get us to buy into it, so we'll part with our money to buy their promise that comes with the product that never delivers. You always deliver. You always come through on everything you say. I ask you, Lord, to touch these young people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.